This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Argentina's voters back populism and markets are unnerved. This is the Marketplace Morning Report live from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. First, though, Hong Kong Airport has closed its check-in services and departure gates as pro-democracy protesters block passengers for a second day. Yesterday, the sit-in forced authorities to cancel all flights to and from Hong Kong. Chief Executive Carrie Lam has warned protesters they're pushing the city into an abyss as the political crisis moves into its third month. The BBC's Stephen McDonald has more.
In a sometimes heated news conference, Carrie Lam refused to say whether she had the authority to officially withdraw an extradition bill allowing for people to be sent to mainland Chinese courts controlled by the Communist Party.
Could you answer that specific question?
The complete removal of the bill is one of the demands of thousands of activists who poured into Hong Kong Airport yesterday, forcing check-in counters to close and the cancellation of outgoing flights. China's state-run media is showing convoys of paramilitary police gathering in the border city of Shenzhen. The Communist Party-controlled Global Times newspaper has warned protesters that if they can't read this signal, they're asking for destruction.
Stephen McDonald there. Let's do the numbers. And staying in Hong Kong, shares of the city's flagship carrier Cathay Pacific are resuming their slide, down more than 2.5% today. The airline suspended another flight officer for misuse of company information, and that's after China on Friday demanded that Cathay suspend employees involved in the protests. European shares are following stocks in Asia lower as investors pile into global bonds. Now, it was a dress rehearsal for an election yesterday in Argentina, and the result was interpreted as curtains for President Mauricio Macri's reformist government. He lost to the opposition in a primary vote ahead of actual polls in October, and that sent the country's currency, the peso, down as much as 22%, while stocks tumbled the most for 18 years. Here's the president speaking after the results were announced.
I want to thank all of you who, despite all the difficulties, have continued to support us, but recognizing that we have had a bad election, and that forces us to redouble our efforts, starting tomorrow, so that in October we will get the support that is needed to continue the change.
Now, last year, Argentina got a $57 billion IMF loan after a currency crisis, but economic recovery hasn't yet materialized. Still, Celia Susterman, director of the Latin America program at the Institute for Statecraft, believes the poll doesn't mean President Macri will lose.
If my analysis that this is the middle classes venting their anger at Macri for not producing a miracle, at the time of the elections on the 27th of October, faced with the reality of a possible return of Kirchner, they will vote for Macri.
Now, the peso lost a fifth of its value in a day. What do you think that means for people who are living in economic hardship already?
People do panic and they take refuge in the dollar. And as soon as the dollar goes up, it feeds into this panic mode. Foreign investors that Macri had hoped would rally to Argentina after getting rid of Mrs. Kirchner have been very cautious. I mean, you can't blame them. They feel we've been here before, so it's better to wait and see, because we have to see whether this time Argentina will be different and will perform differently than in the past.
Celia Susterman. Gold hit a fresh six-year high today as geopolitical tensions from Argentina to Hong Kong and worries about the U.S.-China trade war have investors looking for safety. Will Rhine, CEO of Granite Shares, explains the global reasons behind the rally.
The outlook for gold is positive for the rest of the year, and you know, has been something of a story for this year, given the Federal Reserve's turnaround kind of at the beginning of the year. And so I think the outlook is positive on the back of lower interest rates, you know, increasing uncertainty and the trade tensions between the US and China.
What are some of the other big drivers? Is it just the global trade uncertainty, or are there other factors?
There are other factors. So investment demand and demand, you know, gold, like any other commodity, is driven by supply and demand. And so supply is relatively constrained because it comes from mines, which don't have the ability to ramp up production in any kind of meaningful way. And then you've got demand coming from central banks, coming from investors around the world, looking for something to diversify their portfolios and something to give them some kind of protection, you know, against market volatility.
You mentioned central banks. China has been one of those central banks that continue to buy large amounts of gold, and it even set a record pace last year. Tell me a little bit more about why.
So China and other developed central banks or developing market central banks are, in a way, not too dissimilar from, you know, your average investor. The difference is they're obviously governments. They're accumulating massive amounts of foreign currency reserves. Typically, these are in dollars. And so because gold is priced in dollars, these countries, these economies are looking to diversify their dollar foreign exchange reserves into something which is non-correlated. And gold is one of the main ways that they do that.
We always talk about gold being a safe haven. You've alluded to some of the reasons why, but why particularly does this metal have this status?
Gold can't go bankrupt. And, you know, that's something that it sounds almost too obvious, but in this sort of complex world that we live in today, I think there's something incredibly enduring and alluring about an asset of a very high quality that doesn't have any credit counterparty risk and can't go bankrupt. And so gold really is uncorrelated to almost anything else in the portfolio. And this is a very, very, makes it very important from a diversification perspective.
That's Will Rind, and I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.